Imagine actually loving everything you have in your closet. I'm getting a little closer to that experience the more I get from Honeylove. I've learned I can really rely on the comfort, fit, quality, and look of Honeylove no matter what. And it seems like they think of everything we might want but didn't know existed. The Legging 2.0, for example, has it all. Comfort, function, and style. Smooth, soft fabric, hidden shaping panels that make me feel extra supported and confident, sheer-proof fabric so I have no worries, side pockets for the convenience I need, a super cute look, and more. And I love that I can wear them out and about, around the house, or to work out. And Honeylove addresses all of the typical complaints about bras and shapewear, too. All of Honeylove's products make everything I wear feel better. So yes, Honeylove has you covered for the everyday look, workouts, weddings, and more. Go check it out. Treat yourself to the best bras, shapewear, leggings, and more on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/newsworthy. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/newsworthy. After your purchase, they ask you where you heard about them. So please support our show and tell them we sent you. Treat yourself to Honeylove because you deserve it. Today is Saturday, January 28th. Perhaps you're enjoying a new smart device you got over the holidays. Or maybe you're trying to cut back on how much time you spend scrolling on social media in the new year. Some of you are probably trying to figure out a way to keep working from home at least some of the time. No matter what, my guess is that your use of technology has gone up one way or another since the start of the pandemic. So what does it all really mean for our data privacy? And at the end of the day, do Americans really care about privacy, or will convenience win out almost every time? Today, I'm chatting with Joanna Stern, a senior personal tech columnist for The Wall Street Journal and a contributor for CNBC. She's sharing the personal moments privacy does seem to matter to consumers, what she found that surprised her about whether our devices are actually listening to us, and which newer technologies could be the next to transform our lives in the near future. Welcome, welcome to the Newsworthy Special Edition Saturday, when we sit down with a different expert or celebrity every Saturday to talk about something in the news. Don't forget to tune in every Monday through Friday for our regular episodes, where we provide all the day's news in 10 minutes. I'm Erica Mandy. It's now time for today's Special Edition Saturday. Joanna, thank you so much for coming on the Newsworthy.
Thanks for having me.
So I think a lot of people know that technology companies are constantly collecting a lot of information about us, from location to our activity online. But is that data actually connected to our identities?
Companies will tell you they go through great lengths to make sure that those data points, so say your location and your name, are not linked together in their systems. So they know that your name is Erica Mandy, but in the database, it's supposed to be anonymized. You may have a number, let's say, an ID that is yours. And then that ID might have some information about you. They might know that, let's say, in Instagram or Facebook systems, just for an example, it may know that you're a woman, and it may know that you're a woman in between the ages of, I'm going to guess, I don't know, 20 to 40. And it's going to also know that maybe this woman is interested in fitness because she has scrolled through fitness things or has belongs to some fitness groups. And it may also know more information, like you have an iPhone because the app is installed on an iPhone. These apps build what are really sort of resumes or files on these IDs.
And so I guess the follow-up question to that is, what is it used for beyond more personalized ads, which I think most people get, that you might get more customized ads based on the data? Is that the main thing, or does it go beyond that?
In a large part, it depends on the company or the app you're using. You, in some ways, are the product, right? This is something we've known for the last number of years around specifically social media accounts and the social media business strategy, or how they get revenue. And that is by advertising. Each user will look at a certain amount of ads that they call us users daily active users. And then they try to monetize that. So how much is each of those users looking at ads, possibly buying things from ads? And how does that go up? How do they improve that business model? Well, because you're looking at ads that you care about, and those are personalized ads.
Pew Research has found that roughly 8 in 10 Americans are concerned about how companies collect our data. And yet, you know, we continue to buy and use smart gadgets. We continue to get on social media. Are people actually concerned, do you think? Or do we just say that we are, tell pollsters that we are?
I always wonder about this because I think there was a long narrative for a long time that people don't care about their privacy. Yet, Apple released ad tracking transparency, and it gave people the option, do you want this app to track you? And it turns out, when you ask people, the majority of people selected, no, I do not want this app to track me. And that has had a huge impact on the advertising industry and on the industry or the business of these social media apps, because people started to say, I don't want to be tracked. Thanks for asking. But before that, we weren't really asked, right? Or we were able to do things. And I spent a lot of my early part of this decade walking people through how to control privacy settings, turn off cookie tracking, go into this setting. And guess what? A lot of people found that really complicated to do or just didn't have the time to do. But when you put it in people's faces, yeah, they're going to choose actually protect my privacy.
It's interesting, though. It all kind of comes back to convenience, right? If you make it really convenient for me not to be tracked, sure, I don't need to be tracked. But if technology is convenient to use, I rather choose technology than not being tracked, I guess, is somehow sometimes how it seems, at least. And I know I have people in my life who have said, you know, I don't care if I see more customized ads. What's the big deal? This is all overblown. So what's your take on that?
I think a lot of people have an experience where they might have searched for something that was a little bit more private and then realized, oh, crap, this app knows that I searched for it. For me, that was a fertility search. Going through fertility treatments, I start searching for it because I'm interested in that. And then I start seeing fertility ads pop up in my Facebook, or I start seeing fertility information pop up on Google. And that, I think, is where people start to realize, yeah, I don't have a ton of privacy. And for most people, I think they say, I don't have anything to hide. But when there are these instances where they realize, actually, very private data could be seen, well, that might raise some eyebrows.
I'm curious to hear, as someone who reports on technology all the time, how do you look at the trade-off of technology, big picture, you know, convenience versus privacy, or how do you try to balance the conveniences of technology and some of the consequences of it?
It's definitely difficult. Let's take, for instance, the fact that I have a doorbell camera. Amazing. I can sit in my office here in New York and see what is happening in front of my house in New Jersey. But then there's the downside or the possible bad consequence that video can be seen by others, right? And that others, including law enforcement or the companies themselves, can have access to non-encrypted video streams of what's happening in front of my house. It's important to ask questions before buying each of these types of devices or signing up for these types of services. For instance, you've got Ring doorbells, which may not end-to-end encrypt, which means that the company could see that data. Then there are other types of cameras that do end-to-end encrypt, and so they can't give that sort of information over. And so those are the things that we have to be looking at. But again, that's a lot for a consumer to have to do.
And I know a lot of people are concerned about, you know, our smart speakers or our phones listening when we don't think they are. So I'm curious your take. I mean, is that possible? Do you think any of these gadgets are listening when they're not supposed to?
So years ago, I did a piece as, is Facebook listening to us? And I was pretty convinced going into that piece, they have to be listening. I had a situation. I was like, there's no way Facebook would know I was sick. I got marketed, I think it was Sudafed. And I was like, I had just bought Sudafed. How does Facebook know? And through a bunch of research and reporting, and what now a lot of us know is that, like, Facebook can access a lot of information that we have not told it. In one, that case, Facebook and the systems in the background actually knew that I had bought Sudafed at the drugstore. So there are these instances where we sometimes realize the bigger picture of this, what has been called the surveillance economy, that all of this data leads to these bigger pictures of us. I do not believe they are listening. I think that they would have to gather so much audio information that it's so much easier for them to look at these other data points and put the info together on us.
Still ahead, it's been more than 15 years since the debut of the iPhone, and it turned out to be far more than just a phone. Next, we're talking about how these smartphones permanently transformed our lives and culture and attention spans, and which technologies will have the next big impact on society. But first, a quick break for our sponsors. The Newsworthy is brought to you by Green Chef. If you want to take your 2023 meals up a notch, try the number one meal kit for eating well, Green Chef. One of my favorite things about Green Chef is that you get to make food with super flavorful ingredients you might otherwise not think to buy, or you'd buy only to use one time. I don't remember the last time I bought chard, for example, and yet we made a delicious chicken with garlic chard rice the other night, and my whole family ate it right up. In fact, with Green Chef, you're reducing your food waste by up to 38% versus grocery shopping. And no matter what types of food you prefer, Green Chef has something for you. Keto and paleo, vegan and vegetarian, fast and fit, Mediterranean or gluten-free. You can even mix and match meals. Plus, I love that Green Chef is now owned by HelloFresh, so there truly is something for everyone if you want to switch between brands. Go to greenchef.com/newsworthy60 and use that code newsworthy60 to get 60% off plus free shipping. Again, simply go to greenchef.com/newsworthy60 and use code newsworthy60 to get 60% off plus free shipping. And this episode is also sponsored by BetterHelp. Have you ever felt stressed that you're stressed? Or upset that you feel upset? Despite all emotions being very normal for us humans, we sometimes make it even worse by judging ourselves for them. This is just one small thing that I've learned in therapy, and it can make a big difference when you cut yourself a break. And eventually, it allows you to show up as your best self more often. I like to think of therapy like going to a trainer at the gym, but for my mental health. It teaches you the right skills, the right form, so your daily efforts go further. And then you may need to go back for some new moves and advice as you get stronger on your own. If you're thinking of giving therapy a try, but maybe you're worried about time or money, BetterHelp is a convenient, flexible, affordable option that will match you with a licensed therapist. If you want to live a more empowered life, therapy can get you there. Visit betterhelp.com/newsworthy today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/newsworthy. Okay, now back to our conversation. So let's take this conversation a little bit beyond security and privacy, because as you've talked about in your documentary, you know, 15 years after the iPhone came out, that it has truly changed our culture. So what stands out to you the most in terms of how technology such as the iPhone has changed us as a society?
For the documentary, I went and I found a child who was born the same day the first iPhone was sold at stores. And so his parents go to the hospital that day he's born and they bring a digital camera, right? Remember those? The dad told me he drove there using a GPS, a Garmin GPS he had in his car. He had a BlackBerry phone. And it brings you back to a time where we didn't have an all-in-one device that did everything for us. They couldn't have called an Uber at that point if they needed to get to the hospital. 15 years later, we have these devices. That child is able to do everything on a mini computer in his pocket. And so are his parents, right? And he uses it all the time to take photos, and he uses it all the time to be on Reddit, and he uses it all the time to game. And so it really does represent the 15-year transformation, not only of technology, but of culture and society. The fact that we have these services, that we have these devices that do pretty much anything for us at any moment.
It is crazy to think that that was only 15 years ago. Do you think these changes in both technology and society and our culture are only going to happen faster and faster? Or what do you expect for the next 15 years?
It's funny. I think right now there's a lot of excitement about a couple of technologies. One of them has been crypto, right? And the idea of blockchain and how that's going to change what we are now seeing as Web3. Another one is artificial intelligence. And I think that one is more likely to have a bigger change on society and culture. Artificial intelligence represents a new way for us to interact with computers, where computers are not something that we necessarily have to manipulate and do things on our own, type things in, research, etc., where these artificial intelligence systems can do things that really seem like they could have been done by a human. And we're going to see over the next 15 years, more of these AI systems truly changing how we do things, from working to socializing to living.
I want to ask about the attention piece, because, you know, it happens to me as well, where I mean to look at my phone for 1 minute and all of a sudden 20 or 30 minutes has gone by. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, I needed to be productive in that time. Do you think that's just going to get worse? Or are the companies and the technology starting to recognize that this is a problem and they're going to do something about it? What do you expect about our attention spans and technology.
It's not in the best interest for the phone makers or the companies that make these apps to have us use them less. We have to remember that the end goal of these companies, it's to make money and to, yes, make better products that we like to use, but they make money. So no, these companies aren't going to stop us. But it's funny, last week in my newsletter, I wrote about a company called Aro, A-R-O, and they're making a box that you put your phone in. Inside the box, there are chargers. And then there's an app on your phone that tracks how much time you've had the phone in the box. And what I thought was interesting about this is it actually creates this physical barrier between you and your phone. It's not like it's just like some software screen that pops up and says, like, you've been on your phone all day. You need to take a break. And I think a lot of people, like, that's not enough. We need like a physical thing to take this phone out of our hands. We basically need like our hands tied up to get the phone out of our hands.
How do you think people can be smarter about their technology use, whether that's privacy, whether that's attention, or any of the other aspects that we've talked about?
We're so busy, and this is, our tech has only made us busier, right? We have more emails and more texts and more apps to check, even though we didn't have any of those things a number of years ago. So we, one, yes, have to find time for ourselves. And I definitely need to continue to look for solutions to do that. I actually think that box was very helpful for me. But on top of that, we do need to have a better understanding because the tech moves so quickly and these tech companies move so quickly that we need to keep pace with that as we are using these devices, and so we can better understand how they impact us and honestly, the people around us.
Well, thank you so much to our guest, Joanna Stern, for her perspective and analysis. For more, check out her Wall Street Journal column and give her a follow on Twitter. And her documentary about the iPhone is called The iPhone Baby, How 15 Years Shaped a Generation. It's available on the Wall Street Journal's website, and we have a link in our episode notes. All right, be sure to listen again on Monday for our next regular episode. We provide 10-minute news roundups every weekday by 4 a.m. We'll be back on Monday. Until then, have a great weekend.